We're doing the Sfatamim. We're up to the fifth chapter, page Chavdalet in the standard editions. We're talking about a biblical prohibition that's mentioned in our parsha. It says, "Lo tonu ishet amito." Don't afflict one another. And the Torah is really talking about improper business practices, doing things that are illegitimate, taking a price that's unfair. Everyone knows a bag of milk costs 4.5 shekel in this country, 5 shekel. You charge 7 shekel, 9 shekel. The guy walks into your store and he sees the 5 shekel thing on it and he says, "Is this $5? And you say, "Sure. For you, I'll even make it 4.5. So that's ono. That's improper business practices. That's something that's a blatant thievery. And the Torah says, "Lo tonu ishet amito." It's a biblical prohibition on that. After mitato no lo yesh ba od yisum for hashover al velo tono ishet amito. So sometimes the guy says, "Okay, I'll pay you extra." But he doesn't really know he's paying extra. He says, "I'll pay you, it's okay, whatever, I'll pay." No, Torah says, don't afflict. Uvavonten ishtaka torat onam mikam anashim. Says, you know, people forget this point, that there is a fair price. There is a market value. A guy says, "I'll buy it for this price. I don't need to bargain." But he doesn't realize that it's way over the market value. People say, that's what being a good businessman is all about. That's how you make money if you work real hard. That's not true. Okay, let's take one example. Oh no. Guys, that's it. You're going to hear this sentence. I don't know if you're going to be able to be a phone salesman again. You may not praise the product with false praise. You cannot say something that's not true about the product. That's part of the prohibition. Okay, next big whammy. This one's a problematic one for real estate agents. You may not say that you purchased it for this much. Very often, salesmen will do that. You try to bargain with him, and he says, "But that's the price I buy it for." And if that's not true, you can't do that. Another business practice that they try to do on you, I wasn't aware of this, real estate agents will sometimes say, "Someone already made a bid at this price." And it's not true. So I was once about to close on a house, and we were bargaining. We don't own a house. That was the one time where we thought we would buy. And then there was a gap between us and the seller. And then the real estate agent said, "At that price, the price I was asking to buy it for, I'm willing to buy it. I could resell it for another 20,000 shekel in a minute. I'm willing to buy it. I personally will buy that house for the price you think is a fair price, what you're offering." So I looked at the real estate agent, and I didn't realize this was a game. I said to him, "Okay, the deal's over, goodbye, I'm leaving." He said, "What do you mean?" I said, "If you, the agent who's supposed to help me get a deal, are competing with me, the client, and I'm supposed to pay you 2% of the price at the end, when you competed with me, so you buy it, goodbye, I'm leaving." I didn't realize it was a game. I didn't realize it was his way of pushing me up. I mean, I thought he meant literally. So I just said, "Okay, if you're competing with me, go buy it. I'm not going to compete with you. That's not, then I'm still going to pay you 2% for being the agent who made the deal." I got up to leave the table and suddenly he folded, you know. I took him literally. I'm a yekker, right? You said you want to buy it. And suddenly, I got the best bargains when I took people like that. But I honestly didn't know. When I walked away from the meeting, I was in shock. And then people told me that's standard practice. Real estate agents do this to you. Okay, but that's not right.
Wait, were you supposed to bargain down?
I was pulling the price down. He wanted the price higher because he's getting 2%. Whatever the price is, he's getting 2%. He wants it to be another 20,000 shekels, another 400 shekel in his pocket, right? So he had an interest. 400 from me, 400 from the other guy. He makes another 1,000 shekel, you know. So the Chafetz Chaim just told us three rules. He says, you can't take a price that's unfair. You can't praise the item, something that you know is really not true. You can't say you bought it at a price you didn't really buy it at. And you can't say, "I already have such and such an offer," when you really don't have that offer. Don't lie. You could say, you know, I'm sure I could get this price for it. That you could say. That's not a lie. Meaning, people sometimes think, if I'm honest, then I have no way of bargaining. That's not true. You just have to word it honestly. Instead of saying, I have an offer that's at this price, if it's true, if it's not true, you say, look, I think I could get that price very easily. I have a relative who doesn't live here in Israel, who rents out an apartment, and I help them get tenants. Every time they need a new tenant, I try to help them get a tenant. So I'm bargaining on their behalf. And very often the person will say, look, for this price, I'll take it. And I'll tell the person, look, for that price, I can get 50 people to take it. I don't need you. I won't tell him, you know, other people offered me that price, unless they really did. If they really did, then I could tell them, yeah, others before you offered that price and I didn't take them. I'm not about to take you. So that's the Chafetz Chaim tells us part of the biblical prohibition against being dishonest in business is one of these claims. And again, that doesn't have to limit our bargaining. It just tells us to fashion our wording in a way that's honest. You don't have to say, I have someone else who offers it to me. You could just as easily say, if I posted it for that price, I'd have a buyer in a minute. Obviously, I'm not going to sell it to you for that price. I can get more, or I think I can get more. What I've often done is I've told people, look, for that price, I'll write down your phone number, and if in a week or two I haven't rented it out at a higher price, I might call you back. I've said the same thing. I've basically told them, I believe I'll get more, and if I need you, I'll call you, but I'm not going to bargain with you at that rate, without saying a lie. And if they're really willing to go up, they do. And if they don't, well, I always have the option of calling them back. So again, the Chafetz Chaim is telling us to remain truthful. He's not telling us not to bargain. You just have to do it within the reign of the truth. Ve'en tzich lomar sh'asur lefarkes et hamekach ula'arev ra b'tov. Now, obviously, you can't play games. If you have three rotten apples and you stick them in the bottom of the pile and on the top everything's fresh fruit, so that's not right. Kedei she'ye nirah tov la'ayin. You know, v'tachteh ta'amod ha'beheret. That's what very often people do. You know, they put the nicer stuff on top and on the bottom is the stuff that's not so good. So that's not permitted. And I don't have to mention that it's prohibited to have scales that are off. I was very impressed. I was at a store at the entrance to Tarnova Bakery last Friday, and there was a sign by the scale that said, the price that you're charged includes the weight of the bag. In other words, you're paying for the weight of the bag. That weight, you're paying as though you were buying a cookie that weight. The weight of the bag or the box is not subtracted from the cost of your sale. So I thought that was very nice. You could say today everyone knows that, so it's a given. Okay. Shehu karui avan. If a person cheats in his scales and his measurements, that's he's called a dishonest person. He is called sanuyum shukatsum tuav. He is called a person who is hated, who is disgusting, who is despicable. Our sages say that when a person has an improper scale, then the punishment for that is even worse than illicit relationships, as our sages taught. And even if a person only has in his pocket a scale that's off, he's in transgression every minute that's in his house. Our sages taught us, you're not allowed to leave in your house a scale that's inaccurate. Obviously, we're talking about a scale that's for business use, yeah? We're not talking about a scale you weigh yourself on. We're talking about a scale that's... That, whatever. Thank God. Even at the time he's sleeping, he's transgressing. You don't find this in other prohibitions. Here the Torah says, don't leave it in your house. You can't leave in your house a scale that's that represents lying. I encountered this. I wonder if this is included in the prohibition. I was once on my way to the airport. I was flying to visit my parents. And on the way, I took out money from the bank, And the teller gave me a 100 shekel bill. Now, this goes back a decade and a half ago or more, when 100 shekel was a lot more than it is today. And it was a counterfeit bill. I got it from the bank. Okay, but on the way to the airport, I stopped in to visit my grandmother. And I went to the supermarket next to her house to buy a few things. And I gave them the 100 shekel bill, not knowing it was a counterfeit. And the next thing I know, they locked the front door of the store, so I can't escape, and they called the police on me. And I didn't even know what I had done. After a few minutes, they became convinced that I hadn't given them a counterfeit bill on purpose. But how can you tell if a bill's counterfeit? There are many ways. One of the ways is you pick it up to the light, and you see the watermark.
Your hair had a mustache.
After they were convinced that I was legit, that it was an honest mistake, I exchanged the 100 shekel, and I received the counterfeit 100 shekel. I said, I want to go back to the bank. Right now I got a fly, but when I get back, I want to go back to the bank. Okay, I never went back to the bank, because it was a bank near my grandmother, wasn't local. But I kept that bill folded by me. It was so cool to me that there's... This bill looked so real. And after a while, I said to myself, maybe that's this prohibition. Because I'm keeping in my possession something that's dishonest. Just like you can't keep a scale that's an incorrect weight.
You paid for that bill, though.
I paid for that bill, right? Right, but if I would use that bill, I'd be tricking someone. I'd be giving... I meant not to use the bill. The question is, was I allowed to leave it lying in my possession? So I'm not sure if that would fall under this prohibition. ובדאי שילו תצלח ואחיתו יהיה נבל ורע בעולם הזה, מלבד עונשו שמור לו לעולם הבא. So if someone maintains dishonest weights, he should know he's going to pay for it in this world and the world to come. וידוע שתחילת עינו של אדם לעתיד לבוא ששואלינו לו, Nasata v'natata v'emuna. And it's well known what the Talmud tells us, that when a person comes to the world to come and they start judging him, the first thing they ask him is, were you honest in business? Were you honest in your purchases and sales? And some people would say, I'm not a businessman. Right? But the day will come when you want to sell your used car. And then the question is, were you honest? So we all have these encounters where we buy, we sell, and the first thing they're going to ask us when we get judged in heaven is, were you honest in your purchases and sales? And this is this means a person has to give it thought. I'll just tell you a short story which drove home an important point to me. When I was a kid, I used to make clocks out of wood. So I ordered basswood plaques. There's a company, forgot its name. They're still around. And I once got a shipment. And in the shipment, they sent me an extra plaque that cost $2. So I called the company and I said, you know, you're stuck in a plaque that's a value of $2. What do you want me to do with it? So now they said, well, if you ship it back to us, that's going to cost us more than the cost of the plaque. So you can keep it. So I felt wrong keeping it. Tried figuring out what to do. And then I decided, you know what? It'll be a Kiddush Hashem. They'll see that Jews are honest. I'll use it in the end anyways. So I said, you know what? In that case, I'll pay for it. I could use it. So they said, really? So honest? I said to them, look, for $2, I could be an honest person. That's an easy investment. And I said it as a kid. I said it like half as a joke. But afterwards, I thought about it, and I said to myself, hey, that's so true. You know, when I said it, I hadn't realized what I was saying. But it's true. How often do we lose our honesty for things that are minimal? It's true in life you have bigger things. When you'll be filing your taxes, I wish you that you'll have big digits, and it'll make a big difference whether you're honest or dishonest. But in much of life, it's not a big difference. An example that people often overlook is when you're checking out at the supermarket. So people often think there's nothing wrong with taking an extra bag or two. So that depends. If you're scared your bag's going to tear and root, so many places are okay with your taking an extra bag. But what many people do is they stock up on their bags. They don't buy bags for the house garbages and stuff. They just stock up on bags by taking extra bags from the store. And then they rationalize. They say, well, technically the store isn't telling me I can't divide my items into separate bags. And if I would make every purchase separately, then I could bag every item separately. So what if I bought 3 acorns? If I'd buy 1 acorn, I'd get 1 bag. And a second acorn, I'd get another bag. You know, I could go back online. I could do this all day and get all these bags. So I'm not doing it. So
Just to save 10 chefs.
So I'm saying that's something which people often err on. If you're dealing with someone who can authorize giving you extra bags, fine. Very often you're dealing with the guy behind the cash register. He doesn't care. He's not the one who's paying for those bags. You know, he's a worker there. He's a cashier. So they say, yeah, you could take. Or they just turn a blind eye because it's not worth getting into a fight over it. That doesn't mean you're allowed to take. So there are simple examples where we sometimes lose our honesty over a shekel, a half a shekel, and it's really not worth it. It's not worth it for bigger money, but it's for sure not worth it for smaller money.